Support for this podcast comes from the Fletcher School of Global Affairs at Tufts University. To start your future as a global changemaker, you must have context across fields like international business, cybersecurity, energy policy, and more. Don't just study global affairs, shape them. Visit fletcher.tufts.edu.
Suffolk County District Attorney Rachel Rollins has released a list of 136 police officers who may have credibility problems as potential prosecutorial witnesses. The list has been garnering a great deal of attention since Rollins released it around 9 p.m. Friday night, as people were protesting the Breonna Taylor decision in the streets of Boston amid a heavy police presence. Now, Rollins is one of four Massachusetts district attorneys who have now released these Brady lists publicly. The name is a reference to a 1963 Supreme Court case that requires prosecutors to turn over any evidence that might be favorable to the defense, such as information about a police officer accused of overtime fraud or convicted of criminal charges or found not credible by a judge. We caught up with D.A. Rollins an hour ago and asked her how she created the list.
We inherited a list of 12 people, so we significantly increased the numbers regarding who was eligible. And we not only went through our own information regarding who we had either prosecuted or been made aware of, but we also added names that my colleagues, other district attorneys, had put on their list, as well as information we learned through the media. For example, nine Boston police officers that were indicted by the U.S. attorney with an investigation by the FBI, or, for example, many, many state troopers that were in a similar situation as well with respect to federal charges.
Let's pick up on that for a second. As you know, Middlesex County DA Marion Ryan's office requests the police departments in her county to notify her office of internal investigations into officers and information about those investigations. We noticed that you source most information on internal investigations in this database to Boston Globe Reporting. So I wanted to ask, are you also asking local police to notify you about their internal investigations? And if you're asking, are they responding and giving you that information?
So we are in the process. I'm very proud of the relationship I've worked to cultivate, and it is a mutual relationship between Commissioner Gross, Colonel Mason, and the four other chiefs, Transit, Winthrop, Chelsea, and Revere, that are in Suffolk County. Although we only have six police departments, we have the two largest police departments in the Commonwealth, in the state police and in the Boston police. And after the murders of George Floyd, Ahmaud Arbery, and Breonna Taylor, we started meeting far more frequently. And so we are in contact and communication often and are going to be coming up with some criteria regarding notification. So that is in the process as well.
Yeah, you know, I did wonder about that because you've been vocal as a reformer since even before you were elected. And I wondered, does this list, the act of maintaining it and making it public, complicate your relationship with local law enforcement or make it harder for you to work with departments on prosecutions?
It shouldn't. You know, the overwhelming majority of the men and women that do this job do it with honor and dignity and compassion and character and aren't on this list. Many of the individuals that are listed no longer are in the employ of any of these entities, so don't work for the state police or Boston police, which are, of course, the two largest numbers. You know, we had over 130 people on our list, and we only have six cities and towns. Middlesex has less than that in over 50 cities and towns. Berkshire just released theirs, I think, today or yesterday. They have eight people on their list. I work very, very hard to make sure that we are not surprising anyone. We have had multiple meetings, not only with management with respect to law enforcement, so the colonels, the chiefs, and the commissioners, but I made sure to meet with every single one of the union presidents or leaders of all of the police unions. So, for example, I met with Colonel Mason of the state police, but there are two heads of the union for the state police. I met with Commissioner Gross for Boston, but there are four heads of the four unions at the Boston Police Department. We paid them the respect that they are due prior to us releasing this to the media. And I think that's why, even if we don't agree on things, it is really important that we pay each other the respect that we deserve regarding being, partners in law enforcement.
So now that this list is in place, what happens if an officer who appears on the list shows up in a case that you are prosecuting?
Well, what will happen is, remember, disclosure does not necessarily mean admissibility. But because as prosecutors, we hold virtually every card in the deck in our hands, and defendants don't, it is not appropriate for me to turn my back on a defendant and peer through a file and say, I did a review. There's nothing you need to see here. We disclose is Brady material that we, you know, we have an obligation to turn over. I'm proud in Suffolk County, we go above and beyond that. Now, ultimately, it may be admissible or it may not be, but the initial disclosure is what we're talking about in the law enforcement automatic discovery database. Disclosure does not necessarily mean admissibility.
You mentioned earlier that some of the people on this list are no longer police officers. We reached out to every department on the list and found that at least 40 of the officers named remain employed. I know that you have said you were dissatisfied with your predecessor's list because it included so many former officers. Why do you have so many non-active officers on this list now? Is it that they're likely to still come up in a case? Do you have more culling to do? What is that part about?
Well, because I actually am committed to not only looking forward with respect to the crimes that are happening now and solving them, but also looking backwards to make sure the decisions my office has made in the past were correct and constitutional and ethical. So, for example, when we know of a Fred Clay who's been exonerated, where the Boston police used hypnotism in order to find him guilty of a crime, there's problems there. And why we, in our first disclosure, have officers that maybe haven't worked in law enforcement for years, if not more. It is imperative that we are aware of who we are dealing with, because with the increase in requests for our Integrity Review Bureau, which would be, you know, false convictions, actual innocence, constitutional violations, when we look back to see if we got it right, I want to know who we were dealing with then. If it's an officer that has had multiple infractions or possibly even a conviction that we weren't aware of, that's going to be important as we look backwards to see and try to recreate what occurred in the past. So we are keeping people that are no longer employed. Or, for example, Patrick Rose Sr., who's the former president of the Boston Police Patrolmen's Association. You know, if we're going to be getting there are outcries regarding recollections of from decades ago, or whether there's immediate harm that might have happened within the last 2 years. We want to know, even though he retired a few years back, what he has done. These things are important for us to know, because we are in a world now where we're looking backwards as often as we're looking forward.
And just to note, Patrick Rose is newly charged. He's a former Boston Police Union president accused of sexually abusing 4 children. And the other case you were talking about, 5. Thank you for the correction. And the other case you were talking about, just for our listeners, is a 1981 case where, as you say, the defendant was exonerated later. I want to ask you, we've been speaking to defense attorneys since the list came out. I want to play some sound from defense attorney David Nathanson, who specializes in post-conviction defense.
I am hoping that this is the beginning of a process of getting more fairness, more justice, more transparency for people who are charged with crimes, especially serious crimes, in Suffolk County.
Is that your goal, too? And if so, what else do you think you need to do to get there?
It's absolutely my goal. And we, you know, we worked with obviously members of law enforcement and their unions, but we also, you know, had a quick conversation with some members of the criminal defense bar regarding what we would like this to look like. And, you know, ultimately for me, we have built into this process an ability to appeal, right? We have built into this process with respect to certain crimes, an ability to have the same time frame where things might not be admissible as we give to normal residents of Suffolk County and the Commonwealth. So, for example, if you're charged with a misdemeanor, usually now after the crime bill in 2018, it's 3 years that's no longer admissible. And before, felonies used to be, 7 or 10 years, and now they're less than that. So we've built into this process far more than many individuals get. For example, in the gang database, which has had lots of controversy, you are put in there because you happen to live on Humboldt Ave, or one of your relatives might be an affiliated alleged gang member. There's no built-in process of appealing your way out of that or rolling out of that gang database. We are giving police far more than law enforcement often gives members of over-policed and over-prosecuted communities. And we made sure that we did that because we'd like this to be a best practice and a gold standard that others will follow.
So last question for you, D.A. Rollins. Berkshire County District Attorney Andrea Harrington also just released her office's police officer disclosure list. So we're now at 4 D.A.'s offices who are keeping these public Brady lists. Do you think all 11 D.A.'s should be doing this?
I do. But ultimately it's their prerogative. I mean, our Supreme Judicial Court has made it clear they believe that is a best practice that we should be following. And, I just think transparency is always better. There is no profession. Let's take our spotlight off of the police right now. There is not a single profession you can name where there is 0% bad, actors. Every single profession has individuals that, unfortunately don't meet the high standards that are required. I think there are certain professions where you don't get to make those type of mistakes. And with respect to law enforcement, in particular the police, where they have the ability to take away your life, quite frankly, and split second decisions and your liberty with respect to arrests. And me as a prosecutor who gets to make determinations that take away individuals' liberties and deeply impact their life, we have to be beyond reproach. So I'm excited that, I've joined with several of my other colleagues, and we hope that, with Suffolk County leading the way with the most individuals, even though we only have 6 cities and towns, that some of our brothers will join us.
And that was Suffolk County District Attorney Rachel Rollins. WBUR reporter Allie Jarmanning is on the line with us and heard that conversation. Allie, welcome back to Radio Boston.
Thanks for having me.
So let me just start by asking you what stood out for you from what you just heard.
Yeah, a couple things. She noted that before releasing the list, she met with all the police commissioners or chiefs for the departments with officers on the list and the police unions. And she said that was out of respect for them. She also said she's working with the police departments to figure out a way for the DA's office to be notified about troubled officers who might have pending internal affairs investigations. And that's something Middlesex DA Marion Ryan says she does in compiling her list. And the last thing, almost 2/3 of the 136 officers on the Suffolk list are no longer employed by the police departments. But Rollins said it's important to keep the officers on the list to ensure the integrity of convictions that may have taken place many years ago.
Allie, you and our Radio Boston colleague Walt Wuthman have been reporting on these Brady lists around the state for a little while now. Can you kind of give us the rundown of who has what right now among the 11 district attorneys?
Yeah, so we asked all 11 DA's offices for their lists. And at the time, we found only 3 of the 11 had an actual robust list, and that was Middlesex, Norfolk, and Suffolk counties. And as you said, before, Berkshire County just released its list on Friday as well, so that makes 4. And as Rollins pointed out, all of the DA's offices led by women in the state have released their Brady list publicly now. But 5 DA's offices don't have anything. And that makes defense attorneys question how they're living up to their legal requirement to turn over information about discredited cops. And just for a little more context, when we asked the other DA's for their list, Rollins actually initially refused to provide it. Her office said it was attorney work product and so was exempt from disclosure under the public records law. We appealed to the state supervisor of records and won, and that led to the release of the list on Friday.
So now that it's released, how are people responding to the Suffolk County list?
So we've been speaking to a lot of defense attorneys, and I'd say the message is great first step, but let's keep it going. And as you and the DA talked about earlier, they want to see more access to internal affairs and disciplinary information instead of just issues that have already been publicly reported. We've also been trying to speak to police, but the Boston Police Department has so far not given us a comment on it. And the Boston Police Patrolmen's Association, which represents many of the department's officers, they haven't responded either. We did hear from Chelsea Police Chief Brian Kies. He noted both officers named on Rollins' list are no longer employed by Chelsea. And he said, quote, "We continue to ensure that all of our officers are held to the highest ethical standards and to the highest level of transparency and accountability."
So I know you're going to continue to report on this Brady List larger story. What are you watching for?
Well, I want to see how Rollins and the other DA's lists change over time. If we ask for these lists 6 months from now, will we see more or fewer officers on the list? And or will they release them regularly without us asking? And it'll be interesting to see if Rollins releasing this list creates more pressures for other DAs to follow suit. And as Rollins mentioned, the state's highest court recently came out with a ruling that strengthened the disclosure requirements for prosecutors. And the Supreme Judicial Court said, well, they don't have the authority to require prosecutors maintain a Brady List, quote, "We strongly recommend that they do." So we'll see if more DAs take the court's advice.
Yeah, and we will watch to see what happens there. That's WBUR reporter Allie Jarmanning. Allie, thanks for joining us.
Thank you.